the abuse that I get here. He turned the mic off on me. Hey, come on, let's give Brad T a big God bless you tonight. We love you, Braddy. Lord, thank you for your love and your spirit tonight. Have your way in our lives and in our hearts, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. I want to say just a couple things. Now, many of you have known Brad, and you've heard that story before. But you don't embrace it. See, I knew Brad when he came here. If you get alone with Brad sometime, he will tell you, I was not easy on him because I saw potential in him. And you hear that testimony from him. He was broke, busted. He was out of control. He didn't come from, his family was challenged. I'm being nice. He began to give to God, and God changed his life. It's not only changed his life, his children are benefactor of that. I'm saying that I felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit to say this to somebody. You're being stubborn. I don't care. Give it to somebody else. Give it to a TV evangelist. Do what you want. Give to God. And if you're not, start tonight. Those white boxes on the wall back there, do it. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for calamity? We don't need the money. Well, I don't want to go that far, Pastor. No. I'm telling you, can anybody say amen to me on this tonight? Come on. I want you to know something tonight. You are missing God's blessing. You know, I'm talking to somebody at home tonight, too. You spend more on alcohol and cigarettes and dope, and you go gamble. Are you glad that I'm home? You give the enemy all that money, and you give nothing to God. Had somebody, I've told this story before, had somebody come into my office years ago, got hurt, got a huge settlement. I think it was $700,000-$800,000. Came in a year, maybe a little longer after they got it, broke, and $100,000 in debt. And I said to him, did you give any? That person said, I didn't give a dime to God. You know what? When I heard that, I thought, people want to get upset at me. Oh, that's just a preacher wanting your money. But it's okay for the devil to rob you blind and you not know the truth? Know the truth. The truth will make you, come on, say it again. Now, amen. That's it. That's all. I love you. How you doing tonight? It's good to see you. We've got these cards on the table in the back. Would you take some? Would you invite? I promise I won't do this on a Sunday. This is for the Thursday night crowd and all of you that are watching too. I love you too. But I'll be really, really kind and nice. I really will. I feel good. Patty and I had a little break. Feel good. She's a tough girl. I'm telling you what, that woman, she drive me. I better stop right there. Anyways, it's great to be here. Great preaching last Thursday night from Pastor Aaron, wasn't it? Great preaching last Sunday by Pastor Ryan. And I just want to tell him, come on, give him a big God bless you tonight. I'm so grateful for them and everyone who works and serves and gives. I'm so excited that the bus ministry is happening again. And that's going to keep on increasing incredible things. Remember, if you have not ever taken the Next Steps class with Paul and Becky, I think they'll be in the back there tonight. Will you guys be back? Stand up. Make sure everybody knows how you good-looking people are. It's just 2 weeks. Is it an hour? These guys are amazing. I think they'll, will you have anything like to drink and maybe nibble on too or something? Yes, they will. That's just a seed I just sowed there. But if you've never done that, you need to do that. It'll help you to comprehend and understand the function of the church and what we believe and how we do things. And it's a great thing. And if you want to be in ministry, you want to serve at some point, this is something you got to go through. So take advantage of it. We're going to do more of them, but why not start right now? Next week is going to be really amazing. The Sunday, Palm Sunday, then next week, and all the small groups that we have that meet throughout the week, they're just incredible. But next Thursday is what is referred to as Maundy Thursday. It's that Thursday before Jesus went to the cross. Then Good Friday, two services, one here and at St. Anthony's, and then great Easter Sunday. It's going to be incredible. We're going to have a great time. So I want to make sure you just let God use you in this season. People are looking to you to say, hey, come to church with me. They really want you to do that. And I'm so grateful that Carol McDermott is home from Mexico. Way to go, Carol. I want to encourage you tonight, as we are in an incredible season, a season that is a reset for our lives. Tonight was a part of that, and it's going to continue to go on in these next few days and the week. And with a reset will come obstacles in your life to keep you from what God wants to do and accomplish in your life. It may even come through a setback and cause some people just to say, well, you know, that didn't work. What's the use? Well, I want to encourage you. Sometimes you got to push through some things that seem impossible to get through. And God is not just looking for you and I to have a one-moment experience one time a year, but he wants you and I to have an encounter that will create a transformation in our lives. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, is just spiritual transformation. This is a moment, this is a season where that can take place, and not just for, again, a week or a couple weeks and we feel good and we just go on, but something that changes and touches our heart and resets our life. The word transformation means a thorough or dramatic change in form or even in appearance. And I'm going to tell you something. You might not, when God really transforms your life, you might not look different the next day, the next week, the next month. But I'm going to tell you something. Living for God, you will look better in a year, 5 years, or 10 years. Come on, can somebody say amen? Years ago, as a young pastor, I made many mistakes. But one of the mistakes I made was this man came in the church and had an encounter with God, gave his life to Christ, and I wanted to help him in his transformation. So I took him. I thought if I cleaned him up on the outside, that it would have an impact on his inside. Took him out, got him cleaned up, got a haircut, bought him new clothes, bought him shoes. He came back into the church. He was so proud. People looked at him. They didn't even know who he was. They saw this guy, and they go, oh, and he was just like, man, he was flying on cloud nine. It was a poor decision on my part, because transformation never begins on the outside. Transformation begins on the inside. And it's not a self-improvement project. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Look at how the scripture ends. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Transformation is not something that you and I can will ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't do good things. Transformation comes from the Lord. And how the scripture says it, says we are being transformed into the image, the same image of Christ from one degree of glory to another. You change from one place to another. You should be growing in God every day, every week, every month, year. You should be changed from one degree of glory to another. That's what transformation is. And with that, great things happen in your life. Ephesians 2:11, Paul says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off," listen to this, look at it. You ought to be, if you're able to write some of this down, because you're going to be wanting it. You can have my notes if you email me at pm@thecitychurch.com. I'll send you the notes. It'll cost you $100, but I'll send them to you. That's a joke. "But now in Christ Jesus, you were once were far off. You have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Well, we're going to talk about that next week and this coming Sunday. Philippians 3:7, Paul says again, he said, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Verse 8, "Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things." And look at what he says. He goes, "Oh, I had to give this up for the Lord." No, he said, I suffered the loss of all things. And he says, "I count them as rubbish." I've had people tell me all my life, I say to them, "You're ready to give your life to Christ?" "Well, you know, I want to, but I just can't give this up yet." And Paul said, "I gave up all kinds of things." And after he said, "I gave them up," he looked at them compared to the transformation that God brought in his life. And he said, "They're just rubbish. They're nothing." Man, I remember when I first got saved, you know, and I love farming, and I had friends that were successful farmers. And I first got saved, and I started serving in a church, and man, my income went from not much to hardly anything. And I remember getting around these farmers, and they're telling me they're doing this, they're buying this, they got that. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I didn't expect this was going to be like this. And then as I'm driving away feeling in a moment, I'd only known the Lord a short time and really stepped out in faith. I had that old song come into my head. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have him than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today." And when you give your life completely over to him, you step from one place to another and transformation begins. You think, "Oh, look at what I left." But the Apostle Paul said, you'll look at it and it'll just be rubbish. "In order," he says, "that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ." The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Not your good works, not what you can muster up in your own, but it comes through faith. Verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead," which is a promise to all of us that know Jesus. Verse 12, "not that I have already obtained this," or "I'm already perfect." How many of you can just say amen to that? I'm not there yet. Come on, are you with me tonight? I'm not there yet. "Not that I've obtained it or I'm already perfect, but I press on. Make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own." Come on, are you grateful for that tonight? So what can I do to bring the spiritual transformation into my life in this season? Number one, you have to allow God in your life completely. And this, listen to this. This is so important. If I don't share any of the other points with you, this is so important. This has to do with the rhythms in your life. I spoke a series on rhythms. I don't know, some time ago I was going to try to pull it off or pull it out and look at it again. The rhythms in your life have to do with the level of transformation that happens in your life. If you keep on, if you say, well, I'm going to do this week. I'm going to act good this week. I'm going to do that. That's you doing it. You know, sometimes we get so busy in our lives that we don't have time for anything. But God is looking for you and I to establish patterns, habit patterns in our lives that we don't cross, that we don't change. And this is important, or else we will be led astray with our own activities. And we must ask ourselves these questions. One, do I prioritize regular scripture, reading, prayer, contemplation? Is that a priority in my life, or do I just do it when Pastor Ryan just beats that over in me? This is so important in our lives. To hear the Word of God, to take the Word of God, to stop and pray. And if you don't have those rhythms in your life, who am I speaking to right now? You feel that touch from God right now, that conviction in your heart. That's not condemnation. That's a prick from heaven above to move you into the dimension that He has called you to go in. Create that pattern. This is a season in your life where you can create this new rhythm in your life so that you will be all that God has called you to do. Do we attempt to walk in the presence of God throughout the day, pausing? This can be challenging sometimes. Do we take time alone for silence and solitude? And again, contemplation, just examining. Where are we? What are we thinking? What are we talking about? What are we doing? Where are we going? God, have your way in my heart and my life. Are we allowing ourselves to listen to this, to be in group settings that enable us to grow in hearing what God is saying and doing? That is so important. You want true spiritual transformation in your life, you will never accomplish it on your own. Amen, Pastor. I'll amen myself. Amen. You have to be in group settings where you can open up your life and people can see you and talk to you and hear your voice and know, and they know what you're up to. They know what you've been around. My mom used to say, I know what you've been doing by the people you've hung around with. Gosh, I used to hate it when she'd say that to me. Transformation. Number two, listen to this. Only God can transform us. We can't transform ourselves. Even with good intentions, we can't transform us. And we can't transform other people either. We can pray for others. We can invite others on the journey with us, which is so important. We can be a living testimony for others to see, but no matter how much we intentionally desire to change, you can read every self-help book, and I'm not against them, but you and I will never change without the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives every day. Come on tonight. Understanding this will take pressure off of your life and prioritize the time with God that you and I must have for transformation to continue in our lives. I've got these. I love plants, and I don't even know what they are. We got this, I don't know, it's a banana plant. Is that what that big one is on the garage, honey? Big leaves. It makes me think of the beach. And usually they die in the fall. Then we had this other one. Big, beautiful. I mean, this sucker was big. And I just got ready to throw it out. I said, I can't throw it out. And Patty said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. We're going to do it. So I kept it in the garage, keep a little heat in the garage. I got a little light. I thought, I got so many police living around me, I thought they'd be knocking on my door thinking I was growing pot or something. I don't know. But I could have let them things just die, and they would have died on their own. And you will die on your own. But I kept them in there. I gave them a little. I learned a lot. I had people say to me, "What are you doing there, Pastor?" It's just my nature. I want to see people and things grow that everybody else says, "What are you wasting your time for? Just throw that out." But see, God never does that. And today it was, I think it was 72, 73. I came home. I said, "Honey, I'm going to pull them outside in the sunshine." And I swear to you, I saw green coming on them just being out today. I prophesy this over every one of you, that if you'll live your life for God, if you'll open up your heart and let the power of God's Holy Spirit come into your life and direct your paths, He will cause green. He will cause blessing. He will cause life to come into you. The key is Jesus must increase. John 3:30. He must increase and I must decrease. Did you just hear that? If you didn't, you should write that down. Put that up on your refrigerator. He must increase and I must decrease. When He increases, you will decrease. Religion says, "I'm going to do all these things to gain God's approval. And if I do them, maybe He'll move me a little farther up on the blessing list." But the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness," anything that we can do, anything that we want to muster up, He says, "is like filthy rags." But relationship is, it's not what I have to do, it's what I want to do. And it wasn't by my works, it was the work of God Himself. Praise God. Listen to this. Real transformation. How you respond in crisis reveals your transformed character. Man, this came into my face today. I'm like, why every time I teach or preach, I have to be challenged on it. How you react in a time of challenge reveals if you are allowing God to transform your life or not. Not in a time of peace, in a time of challenge. We can all praise the Lord when, you know, you got everybody up here, you got Pastor Ryan leading, Malachi's over here, the band is on point, you know, everything is going on, man, it's great. But how about when it's not great? How about when difficulty? How about when challenge comes? When we are on the road to spiritual formation, we have to honestly assess, how do we act in those situations? You know, because I say this, because some people just do it, that's just what they do. People say to me all the time, "Well, that's just who I am." That's the dumbest thing anybody can say. Do I need to say that again, maybe in the Greek or the Hebrew, so you understand it better? Well, of course that's who you were, but that's not who God wants you to be. I had something, and I'm going to tell you something. Pastor Ryan dealt with this today, and I'm thinking, God, He's so much better than me. Because I could feel, when it happens to me, I can just feel, it's like, my temperature rises and I can feel, and difficult things come across my mind. I had it yesterday happen to me. I probably didn't handle it the best, but listen to me, let me insert this too. That when people take advantage of you and are trying to harm you, that doesn't mean you just lay over and let them have their way with you either. But there's a righteous way of doing it. Come on, amen today? Listen, Billy Graham said, "Grief can kill a person emotionally and physically if not counteracted with God's strength and power. Our personal weakness may debilitate us." You're going to let God spiritually transform you. You got to bring that part of you. Maybe this is just for me tonight. Maybe you guys, everybody's got this down. You have to realize that sometimes it's not as bad as you think it is. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What will we wear? Jesus said, the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And know that God responds to mercy and deliverance. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. God, help each one of us with that. When we're criticized, when we're second-guessed, when we're strongly disagreed with, our response, listen to this, is a window into our soul. Oh, okay, Lord, I said it. It's hard. It's challenging. It's difficult. But it reveals how we truly are doing in our quest to be like Jesus. Praise his name. If we get defensive, if we become unforgiving, if we are filled with anger, we can conclude that we haven't developed emotionally this ability to allow true spiritual formation to happen in our lives. This is just an area. Listen, I know that he continually adjusts me. Believe me, I'm light years from what I used to be. Ryan, you don't have to laugh like that. You make me feel bad. I am light years. He didn't even know what I was like before he was even a sparkle in my eye. You want to talk about, right, honey? Look at her over there. She's just like, you know. Yeah. But true spiritual transformation, we have to bring this to the Lord, don't we? I said, don't we? Come on tonight. True spiritual transformation begins, listen to this, when we function with and through the local church. Back to trying to work things out alone. Again, the Bible, the scripture teaches us that the body of Christ is here to build one another up. You need one another. Each part does what it's supposed to do. Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into the church, into Christ, from whom the whole body, listen to this, the whole body, all of us, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Yeah. Listen, if you're not doing what you're called to do, somebody else isn't getting what God has for them to do. And nobody can do what you are called to do. Do I need to say that one more time? Nobody, thank you. Nobody can do what you are called to do. No one. You can say, well, somebody else can. No. There's a purpose and a plan for every one of our lives. And you have to engage in that. Let me move on to the next one. Real transformation creates new desires. Don't be afraid of it or even think it's strange. The Bible says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Sometimes it's not what you think it should be. Come on tonight. I would have been married to 10 different women. I'm sorry. I'm just telling the truth. I've been married 43 years. I can almost say whatever I want now. I love my wife, and I'm thankful that God cornered me to marry, kept me from destruction. Come on, amen. Any husbands in here? You want to say an amen with me tonight? Come on. Your men are weak. I'm going to give you one more chance. Men? Thank God. You're slow, but you're a little worth waiting on. We want God to give us the desires of our heart, but sometimes your desires are jacked up. And you need to be willing. Transformation changes and puts God's desire in your heart. You should give a better amen than that. Galatians 5:24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Jesus transforms our desires into desires to serve him and his kingdom. Amen. Let me give you the last one here. When real transformation is beginning, or can I say continuing, our purpose sometimes will also change. It is constantly evolving. Listen, I was interviewed World Missions Alliance for a podcast, and they say, and Helen Todd said, tell us your greatest purpose. And I paused, and I thought, and I said, I have not touched the greatest purpose that yet I've been created for. Do you need to hear me say that again? I have not touched the greatest purpose that I have yet been created for. I remember going into the jail 25, 30 years ago, right up here, Genesee County Jail. I remember preaching on a Sunday, men giving their lives to Christ, crying in the jail. I remember talking to a man who murdered a person, and he was going away for life, and he gave his heart to Jesus. I said, you may be behind bars, but you're free inside. I thought that was one of my greatest purposes right there. I thought one of my greatest purposes is years ago when, and Chuck and I just talked about it a minute before service tonight, one of the greatest purposes of my life was the time that Aaron Martin, who was all over the place, decided when her dad said, I'll drive the bus to Chicago. See, real men of God, they make plans. They don't even have a guy to drive the bus. And Chuck said, we'll cancel our vacation. We'll drive. I thought when she went, and then a couple weeks later, she's on a road trip to Master's Commission in Phoenix, Arizona. And look at what God has done in her life today. I thought, maybe that was one of my greatest purposes. And I think it probably is. I think of my son, Ryan, who struggled in school, who went through different things. And we prayed, God, is he going to graduate? Please give it that. And had teachers chide him and tell him that he was this and he was that. To see what God has done in him today. That was one of my greatest purposes right there. And I'm going to tell every parent here tonight, don't try to save the world until you got your family moving in the direction that they're supposed to be going. I've preached in Africa I've been to Africa seven times. I've been to different places around the world. I've preached and I've seen thousands. I was a part of the Good Friday in Buffalo a few years ago, 14,000 people. God allowed me to preach. I thought some of those things were my greatest purpose. But I have not touched yet what God is going to do in and through my life. Because my purpose is evolving. It's changing. Because we don't live for what we always want. We live for what God wants. And can I just almost end with this tonight, that when you serve him, when you surrender your life to him, he's going to change it. But it's going to be incredible. We must realize that from day to day, moment to moment, week by week, that God is calling us to something greater and bigger than we have ever seen. Serving people, serving his kingdom. Let me tell you something. Those that have been helping give out food on Wednesdays, you don't know what God is building in your history and in your legacy and in your life and in your family. I don't care whether you're working in the sound tonight. One of the kids, Tommy, I called you a kid. One of the kids working on the camp. I don't care who. When you serve the Lord, God is bringing to life something so powerful. In John 15:16, Jesus said, "You didn't choose me, and I speak this over your life, but I chose you." Get rid of the bumper sticker that says that I chose God. No, you didn't. He said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain and that whatever you ask the Father in my name," he said, "I'll give it to you." Come on. Let's ask largely of the Lord. One last scripture, 1 Peter 2:9. "You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Ryan, come up here and close. "You're his own special people that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And I think everybody in this house, you need to just get up on your feet right now and show God a great praise in this place tonight. Come on.